50 years ago today, The Lorax was published. NPR also turned 50 this year, so we're looking back at some of the big events of 1971. And this particular anniversary is happening at a really interesting time. We are all trying to wrap our heads around dire news from a UN report on climate change. And The Lorax was Dr. Seuss writing for kids about how human beings affect the earth and the environment 50 years ago. Here's NPR's Elizabeth Blair.
Theodore Geisel, a.k.a. Dr. Seuss, believed in the environmental movement, but he didn't always like its rhetoric. He thought it was
preachy and bossy.
But Geisel was furious about construction going on in his La Jolla, California neighborhood, says biographer Donald Pease.
They were destroying quite beautiful eucalyptus trees, and he wanted to do something about this, but he also was confronted with writer's block.
His wife suggested they go on a trip to the Mount Kenya Safari Club. Wanjera Mathai of the World Resources Institute says that was a good idea.
It is built on one of the most beautiful landscapes with a spectacular view of Mount Kenya. So I'm not surprised Dr. Seuss was inspired by that.
Really inspired, says Pease.
While he was there, he caught a view in the mountains of elephants doing a crossing. And as he said afterwards, the log jam broke.
At the far end of town, where the crinkled grass grows, and the wind smells sour and sour when it blows, and no birds ever sing excepting old crows, is a street of the lifted Lorax.
Those first few pages of The Lorax are pretty gray and depressing. The greedy onceler has ravaged the land by chopping down truffula trees. He needs them to make his thneed garment.
I meant no harm, I most truly did not, but I had to grow bigger, so bigger I got.
The Lorax is having none of it.
I speak for the trees have no tongues. And I'm asking you, sir, at the top of my lungs. He was very upset as he shouted and puffed, "What's this thing you've made out of my truffula tuft?"
He wanted a book that captured the effects of pollution on ecosystems, and I would say it was really ahead of its time.
Nathaniel Dominey is an anthropology professor at Dartmouth College.
The Barbalutes leave because they run out of food. The Swami Swans leave because the air is polluted. The hummingfish leave because the water's polluted. He's describing what we would now call a trophic cascade. And for me, I find that genius that he anticipated that concept by a decade or more.
This prescient story has special significance for Wanjera Mathai. Her own mother was a little like the Lorax, speaking for the trees in Kenya. Nobel Peace Prize winner Wangari Mathai, who died in 2011, founded the Greenbelt Movement, which is credited with planting more than 51 million trees across Kenya, part of a campaign to end poverty.
My mother, Wangari Mathai, always talked about trees as a symbol of hope. And so the Lorax in many ways was that and remains that for me, that each of us can be such a potent agent of change. We can be custodians of hope.
Just as she read the Lorax when she was a girl, Wanjera Mathai's daughter Elsa reads it today.
"But now," says the onceler, "now that you're here, the word from the Lorax seems perfectly clear. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not."
Biographer Donald Pease says Theodore Geisel kept his distance from the environmental movement, but uncharacteristically, he did allow some groups to use the Lorax in their campaigns. In 1971, Geisel conceded to the Los Angeles Times that the Lorax wasn't his easiest book for children to understand. The real target of his environmental message seems to have been adults. Maybe, he said, the way to get the message to the parents is through a children's book. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.